little switcheroo here. So we have a number of things going on this weekend, specifically three things to cover, which is why I'm preaching at all the masses this weekend. First of all, the fourth Sunday of Easter is also known as Good Shepherd Sunday because the gospel each year is always from some part of John chapter 10, in which Jesus identifies himself as the Good Shepherd, thus fulfilling the prophecy from Ezekiel when God said, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep." And because it's Good Shepherd Sunday today, it's also the World Day of Prayer for Vocations, when we pray for vocations to the priesthood, to the diaconate, and also to the consecrated life. And today is also DSA Follow-Up Sunday for our diocesan services appeal. And last but not least, we have Mother's Day, of course. And so I want to touch on these three different things, beginning with our mothers. The week before last, I was on a Monday through Friday retreat at John Paul II Healing Center. It was a retreat specifically for priests called Holy Desire, the Path to Freedom. And both Father Brian and I concur that it has been the most fruitful retreat we had ever been on. It was led by Dr. Bob Schutz, who has spent over 30 years as a marriage and family therapist, but he is also this faithful Catholic professor who is an excellent spiritual director. And it was co-led by the amazing Sister Miriam Heidland. And do a search on her and listen to any video she has out there. She's phenomenal. The retreat is called Holy Desire because at the heart of a healthy and happy life is the healing, the ordering, and the fulfillment of our desires. Because desire is what fuels us and determines what we pursue in life. But the problem is that our desires have become disordered. And so we pursue these things that are unhealthy for us, unhealthy for our relationships, and unhealthy for the human family. And we see this in all the rampant addictions that maybe has plagued even our own family. Everything from alcohol to drugs to phones and porn. We see it in our divorces, in our broken families. We see it in our pursuit of things that, after the temporary pleasure wears off, leaves us empty, bankrupt. And so the premise for this Holy Desire retreat, then, is that under each and every disordered desire, there is an emotional or spiritual wound, an unmet need, and a holy and good desire. So let me repeat those three things. Underneath every single disordered desire, there's a wound, an unmet need, and a good and holy desire. So the key to getting happy and healthy then is not suppressing our desires, because that's what fuels us, right? But inviting and allowing Jesus, the divine physician, to do the work that only he can do, to heal and order those desires rightly so that the person discovers and lives for that holy and good desire behind the disordered desire that's wreaking havoc in their lives, right? And then this type of healing is not just for folks who are in the throes of despair. Father Brian and I, we feel like we're pretty happy priests, you know, healthy priests, fulfilled priests, loving the priesthood, loving our vocation, and you, the people we serve. The other priests on the retreat seemed like a lot like us, not in crisis or in the throes of addiction. But what was required for the retreat to be fruitful, however, is the humble realization that all of us, no matter how well things are going in life, is in need of healing. Now, what keeps us from that realization and that deeper healing? Maybe some negative experience from our past, maybe negligent or hurtful treatment from a loved one growing up or even recently. Or perhaps even a current distress that has wounded our hearts and our psyche and that has prompted us to begin believing in a lie about ourselves. Maybe a bunch of lies about who we believe ourselves to be instead of the fundamental identity that we have as beloved sons and daughters of God in whom he delights. Do you feel that you are a delight to him? Maybe it's the lie that we're worthless, or we're all alone, and or we're damaged goods, and so there's no hope for me. Those thoughts can become central to how we view our who we are. And those identity wounds disorder what we desire. And so central to receiving more and more of the abundant life God wants for us is this healing of any disordered desires in our life. If you feel like, you know, why am I not sensing God in my life in the way that the scriptures and Father Brian and Father Chaz has mentioned? Why am I not experiencing the joy and peace that Jesus offers in, for example, the way that Julie Pinkos witnessed to us before Mass? It may very well may be because we need to heal our disordered desires. Because if we don't desire God, but all these other things that in the world that enslave us, we block out God from our lives, for whom we were made. So what does this have to do with Mother's Day? Well, when we went into our individual prayer sessions, Father Brian had Sister Miriam, I had Bob's brother Bart Schutz, who's also in full-time ministry, and when he was in college, he was a defensive end for Florida State, and so got a big, this big guy, and I she got Sister Miriam over here, so I asked, he helped me lead myself asking the Holy Spirit to show me the root of anything that was keeping me from receiving more of the abundant life the Lord was offering. And it took a bit of silent time of simply listening to get my own thoughts to quiet down. But then the image of a little Chaz came to me who I was about when I was about 7 years old. Many of you know I was adopted by my biological aunt and uncle. My natural parents had a rocky marriage, and my grandparents did not want me to grow up in a broken family. So they sent for me. And this limbo time before I was officially adopted by my biological aunt and uncle, there was a memory there that I had suppressed of that little seven-year-old boy who felt confused, afraid, rejected, abandoned by my natural parents. And the lie that I believed was that I was not worth saving, that I was not worth fighting for. Of course, many of you know, since I've spoken about them before, that I could not have asked for more generous adoptive parents in my biological aunt and uncle. They showed me what it means to love, to sacrifice, to make generous decisions with our lives. I most probably would not be standing here today as a priest if it were not for them and their magnanimous love, so praise God. You know, their example of faith also helped me, myself, to turn to God, who poured out even greater healing, deeper healing. Enjoy. But here's the thing. I mistakenly thought that to look back at that time in my early childhood would have been an insult to my adoptive parents and to the wonderful upbringing that they selflessly provided for me. So while God really filled my soul with his indescribable healing and love, particularly in times as a young adult, and while Mother Mary, through my consecration to her, became truly the woman I needed in my life, I had never invited the divine physician to fully enter into that earlier period of early childhood to speak truth to the lies that I had believed as a little boy. As good as life was as an adult, that didn't take away the fact that there was a wound that was not fully attended to. But when God did attend to that wound in that time of prayer during this past retreat, the divine physician truly did a restorative and healing work in my life that I thought I had never needed, because God and my adoptive family did such a wonderful job of stepping into the breach and providing a life that my natural parents could never provide. I realized that one effect of that wound was this tendency not to accept praise from others, deflecting that praise because of the original lie that I didn't think I was worthy of the praise, right? But now I'm more intentional about accepting the praise of others as an affirmation of the good work the Lord is doing in me. And as he says in scripture, that he will complete the good work he has begun in each of us if we let him.
Another fruitful result is that on the next day of that retreat, I gave a call to my birth mother, who is the only parent among my parents still alive, birth or adoptive. And we had a conversation on the phone that lasted over an hour, where we were just both bawling and expressing forgiveness and love. I get the privilege of even visiting her at the end of this month under bad circumstances, because it was because of her having a recent heart attack, and that moved up the date that I get to see her. So that's what all this had to do with Mother's Day, a story about how your love, you mamas out there, are so needed by the children of our world. Your nurturing, your dedication, your unconditional love. Dads, you too are desperately needed, but that's for another homily, because we still have a couple other things to go over. And you get your day too at some point. To transition to this Good Shepherd Sunday and this World Day of Prayer for Vocations, it's this love of the family that is the good soil from which vocations bloom. Your love for each other as husband and wife, you who are married out there, is so essential to the solid formation of our children. All kinds of bad things could be going on in the world, but when mom and dad love each other, our young children feel safe and secure. It's also the fidelity of the parents to the practice of the faith that fosters not only vocations, but a civilization of love. Because you parents are teaching us by the practice of the faith that life is much bigger than about our own earthly pursuits. If these worldly pursuits are all there is, that's pretty depressing. And there's a lot of the world that's right, that's where a lot of the world is right now. But when children are taught by example that we're made for so much more than entertainment and worldly ambition, that there's a common good to serve in this world and an eternal life that is beyond anything that we could even imagine, a longing that is expressed here at every Mass when heaven meets earth, then our blinders that lead to self-absorption are removed. And the greater and mysterious reality for which we were made is thrown open before us. My parents, by their going to daily Mass in my youth, when just remembering them going to daily Mass and praying together as a couple each day, reading a scripture passage and praying aloud daily for the family and the world, and never ever compromising that for the demands of their occupation as physicians or even our family passion for golf, that never ever were any of those, was our faith compromised whenever there was conflicts. That impressed upon me the supreme importance of that infinitely greater reality for which we are to live. And so on this World Day of Prayer for Vocations, we pray for those vocations. We also pray for the family life that will give rise to those vocations. God said, I will give you shepherds after my own heart. But there was an exhortation from the Lord in the verse immediately before that. Return, rebellious children, the Lord says. Because what had happened? Israel, God's people, including their own prophets and priests, had rebelled against God and turned to idols that opened the way to all sorts of immorality, and thus broken and wounded hearts. I mean, we can relate to that, can't we? Catholics, countless Catholics, have by and large abandoned their faith, and how even the church's own priests, many of them rebelled and turned to false idols, betraying their vocation. But there is hope. It's when God's people return to him with all their hearts that he will give us shepherds after the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And the people's return to God has already begun. How so? Well, one effect of the horrific scandal of church leaders is this pruning of the church that has happened. The ones who remain or enter into the church are more and more the faithful remnant who truly believe that it is Jesus, not these fallen bad apples, that is behind the church. In their regular prayer life, they can hear the Good Shepherd amidst the cacophony of noise in the world. They are the ones, as we heard from the book of Revelations, who have survived the time of great distress. Those are the ones who will know the glory of God. And so, to transition to the final topic of today, because of this pruning, it means that with less people in the church, all the more do we need the faithful to truly exhibit the fruitfulness and the generosity to which the Lord is calling us. And that means forming our parish to be a community of missionary disciples that we have been praying for in this year of prayer. And part and parcel to that, of course, is stepping up to the generosity challenge so that we're able to afford the much needed maintenance and improvement of our facilities so that we can pay for our parish employees a more just wage, lest we lose them, so that we can hire the help we have lost over the last year before our parish leadership team burns out, and so that we can fulfill our Lord's great commission here in Jackson. Remember that the charge given to our parish is not just the healing and salvation of our parishioners, not just the healing and salvation of Jackson, but the healing and salvation of every Catholic or non-Catholic within St. John's parish boundaries. That's our mission. And in our DSA contribution, we can assist our diocese in the works of charity and service that we alone as one parish can't provide. And for the recruiting and formation of future good shepherds. In fact, we'll have a seminarian with us this summer. You'll run into him. His name is Brian. And for that young Brian to become more like our Father Brian here requires time and investment in his formation. So for those who are not familiar with the Generosity Challenge, we're doing something similar to what other parishes around the diocese have done. And that is to turn to the biblical principle of tithing, to offer God the first 10% of our gross income, 5% of it to the Sunday offering, 4% to other Catholic initiatives such as our Witness to Hope Pledge and our Catholic schools, our Catholic Charities of Jackson County, and then 1% to our Diocesan Services Appeal, better known as the DSA. We introduced it a couple of months ago, this generosity challenge, after we heard of the success of St. Mary's down the street in their own generosity challenge. But I haven't really given you an update since then, so I want to do that in this last part of the homily. The good news is that we're off to a great start. So a big thank you to those who have already participated. If you recall, we're asking every parishioner to turn in two items. Number one, the generosity challenge parish pledge card. And then number two, your DSA envelope. And if you don't know where yours is, there's more at the end of your pews today. So on your St. John Parish pledge card, you place what you are committing to regularly give for your Sunday offering in this next fiscal year from July 2019 to June 2020. And so this helps us to know for this next fiscal year what we can afford to budget and hope to finish the preparation of that budget by the end of this month. So if you would turn it in promptly, that would be great. The second item to turn in is your DSA envelope. Regarding the Diocesan Services Appeal, we are about 72% of the way toward making our goal for this year. And that's 338 families out of our 1,400 registered, right? With our generosity challenge on the parish level, the question is, what will we need to cover our budget for the next year? Now, here's the really interesting thing. Remember when I mentioned to you what St. Mary's did? Father Tim Nelson took an anonymous survey of what the average income was for his parishioners, and it came to about $50,000. He then asked the parishioners to give 5% of their income, which for their average parishioner would be $2,500 per year, which is a little over $48 per week. The people responded to the challenge, and St. Mary's financial situation has now substantially improved in the last couple of years since. Well, here at St. John, we didn't do the survey of our average income of our parish, but we're only about a mile apart from each other, so probably we have the same demographics. So let's say we have the same average income of $50,000 here in our parish. Our average mass attendance is about 1,250 per week for the six masses that we have. The average number per household is 2.5. So that means if you divide 1,250 by 2.5, there are about 500 households out of the 1,400 households registered that attend Sunday Mass regularly. That 500 is probably a good estimate of the number of active households we have at the parish, given that, you know, each week some of our active members may be elsewhere for Mass due to being out of town, or they may be sick or homebound. But then we also get, you know, a number of parishioners, non-parishioners, I should say, who attend a given weekend. So it all washes out. So if you take our 500 active households and you assume a similar average income of $50,000, that would mean 500 households giving an average of a little over $48 per week. And so right now, we have 264 pledges returned. And guess what the average weekly offering from those pledges are? It's $49. So within a $1 of the projected estimate. Now, if you can take that $49 and you multiply it by 500 instead of just the 264 that have been turned in, guess what that comes out to? It comes out to exactly $24,500, which is our current weekly budgeted amount for our offertory. So how coincidental is that? So our minimum goal then, that's why our minimum goal is to have at least 500 pledges turned in at the current average in order to meet our weekly budgeted amount of $24,500 per week, which would be remaining at our status quo. And so within God's awesome plan here, we're right on track. As long as each and every one of our 500 active families participate, we should reach at least our current weekly budget for this fiscal year. We, of course, hope that the $49 average increases so that we can continue to do the great things that are happening. So I encourage you to be one of those 500. Jesus said in today's gospel, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." So please consult the Lord at this very Mass about the amount of your pledge to your Sunday offertory, which we hope is at least 5%, and then to the DSA, which we hope is at least 1%. But whatever it is, follow through with the Good Shepherd's inspiration. Both the pledge cards and again, the DSA envelopes are there at the end of the pews. A reminder that we are willing to do what Father Tim Nelson did in his parish, which is to guarantee that God isn't outdone in his generosity. So if you find yourself in a financial crisis or you need the increased amount that you gave to the parish offertory, we'll give that amount back to you. We have record of each parishioner's offerings. So you have my word that any increase in offertory from your past offering, we will return to you if you truly find yourself in financial need. But, you know, Father Tim hasn't run into that. In fact, he's run into people coming up to him and saying, ever since I surrendered that to the Lord, he's been even more generous to me now that I've trusted. So I urge you to trust in him in following the Good Shepherd and his voice.